Test, test. Thank you, Pastor Dan, for reminding me that a tie is a necessary accoutrement to preaching. Sorry, how embarrassing. Let's see if I can get this thing open. Time of the signs. We've all heard the expression signs of the times, but are we actually living in the time of the signs? Thank you. There will be signs in the heavens. Now, if we can't have fun with it, then what's the point? How's it sounding? Is it getting better now? Okay. Jesus said this. Let me see if I can find the clicker. Turn that on. Clicker. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Watch. But aren't we watching? Haven't we been watching for 180 years? 180 years. We have a theology that places our movement within the time frame of the end. It's the way we think as Adventists. It's even written into our name. I wonder, though, if some of us have just become a little weary of watching. Ezekiel prophesied for around 25 years before his predictions came to pass. Jeremiah, 50 years. Isaiah, around 65 years before his predictions came to pass. And Jesus himself predicting the fall of Jerusalem 40 years before it came to pass. Oh Lord, how long is written 54 times in the scriptures. How long? Isn't 180 years enough? Every generation of Adventists has thought that it was coming. I'll never forget being a young, newly minted member, Roperty and Maria. I was baptised in 83, and in 84 I was a volunteer helping to build a health resort in Kangaroo Valley. And I'll never forget saying to a group of friends, you know what, I think he's coming next year. How embarrassing. In the Matthew 24 discourse, the question is, when will these things be? And hasn't that been the question from the beginning? When will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Let's have a look. The first thing Jesus said is, see that no one leads you astray. Well, how can that be? We know what's happening. We can tick them all off. This, then this, then this, then this. We'll be fine. We'll be fine. Or will we? Why give the warning if it wasn't relevant? He said next that many, I want you to notice the word many. Many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will lead many astray. Okay, focus on the word many. Then let's look at our next slide. In the 17th century, a man arose who claimed to be the returned Jesus Christ. Rhys Evans made that claim, and he was attacked by the church, full on attacked. In the 18th century, Kondraty Selivanov and Anne Lee, on opposite sides of the world, both claimed to be the returned Jesus Christ. In the 19th century, there were eight persons, one every 12.5 years. In the 20th century, there were 30 persons. What did I say? Many. In the 21st century, already there has been 10. Now, who's the maths person here? 10 times 4. That's 40 people, not counting a snowball effect. 40 people. Now, this person... Actually, I'll go back. Yeah, no, stay there. Divine Truth is a movement based in Queensland, Australia, taught by Alan John Miller, also known as AJ, who claims to be the reincarnation of Jesus of Nazareth, and his partner, Mary Suzanne Luck, who claims to be the reincarnation of Mary Magdalene. The couple describe Divine Truth as non-religious, and here they are. That's Jesus Christ. I've seen an interview in the media of this guy. He seems like a nice bloke. I'd get along with him. He's terrific. I don't think he's Jesus, though. And they didn't know each other previously. She made the claim that she was Mary Magdalene, separately to him making the claim that he was Jesus Christ. And then, as fate would have it, they met. I wonder if they met on Christian Mingle. But there they are, Jesus and Mary. And, you know, when you listen to him, he talks about when I was here in the first century, when I said this and when I said that. Very interesting. But then Jesus goes on to say, there will be wars and rumours of wars. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. I think we're in the first half of that verse. I don't think we're in the second half. But if you look around the world today, we see Russia, China, Iran, North Korea, allied, superpowers, NATO, another superpower headed by America. But look at this graph. Number of armed conflicts in the world. Now, if you look at the first section there, across to there, about the two-thirds to three-quarters, the average there is around about 100 plus. That's from 89 to around about 2010. Approximately 80 plus wars. In the last decade, 2013 to 2022, the number rises to approximately 170 average. In one decade, we've got 70% increase in the number of wars in the world. Are we living in the time of the signs? I remember when I made my prediction, there was a war here and there. Not this at all. There will be famines. This is the world. Oops, pushed the wrong button. This is the world. Oh, we'll go back. Here we are. Okay, got it. This is the world food security. 2014 to 2020. Notice how there's a steady increase in insecurity of food, and then there's an uptick. That's the world. This is Africa. Africa has had a steady increase in food insecurity and then a steep uptick. This is Asia. Now, Asia's always been fine as far as food is concerned. They have high rainfall. They can always produce heaps of rice. I've been to Asia. Food is no issue. It's cheap. It's food is everywhere. I've been to many places in Asia. But even... Oh, here we're doing it again. Even here, they've got an uptick. Then Latin America, a big uptick. Now, this is the Western world, North America and Europe. I think we can count ourselves in this little group because we don't have a problem with food security. We are one of the breadbaskets of the world. Now, we've been on the decline there for a number of years, and then even here we have an uptick. There will be famines. I remember seeing an image of an African family, and they're in their home and had before them everything that they were going to eat for that week. There were bowls of grains and beans and legumes, and there was fruit and vegetables. All there, that was the mum, dad, three or four kids, that was their food for that week. Then alongside it was an image of an American family. And there on their stone island benchtop, they had everything that they're going to eat for the week. There was the staples, but then there was pre-cooked pizzas, biscuits and cakes, ice cream and chocolates and all of those other things all on the table. And the caption or the text read, "If there's a famine in Africa, they starve. If there's a famine in America, they can't eat their pizzas." And that's the difference. And it's also one of the reasons why the African people are a lot more healthy generally than the Western family. Because they're eating very natural and simple things. And earthquakes in various places. This is the last century, the earthquakes that have occurred. Now, it's kind of similar to the wars. If you have a look at the first two-thirds... Oh, I did it again. If you look at the first two-thirds, across here, you're going to get an average of around 25, 20 to 25, until you get to about 1960-ish, and then the average is around 90. So from approximately 25 up to 90 within a few short decades. Oh, keep doing it. I'll get there. Within those few short decades, it's kind of tripled. And that's in living memories, and that does not count the few we've had in the last 24 or so years. And there's been a number of biggies. Even that one in Japan where the tsunami struck and destroyed the nuclear facility. Then there was the Asian tsunami, which killed something like 500,000 people. It's not in that list. Are we living in the time of the signs? That's the question. But here's the scary one. "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you'll be hated by all nations for my sake." I wish I didn't have to preach this. But the facts are the facts. In 2022, Advocacy Group Open Doors said that at least 360 million Christians experienced high levels of persecution and discrimination. Watch this. This was 20 million higher than the year before. Roughly 5,600 Christians were murdered in one year. More than 6,000 were detained or imprisoned, and another 4,000 plus were kidnapped. More than 5,000 churches and other religious facilities were destroyed in one year. 3 weeks ago, the news reported, and by the way, I don't watch the news. I get my news from other sources, and I'll talk about that in a minute. The news reported that 146 men, women, and children, Christians, were in their church when they were attacked. They were all killed and the church burned to the ground. Did you hear it in the news? No, you didn't hear it. But it happened. Now, multiply or divide 146 by 5,600, you get that that is happening every day somewhere in the world. Are we living in the time of the signs? Oh, we're safe here for now. For now. Oh, my neighbour gave me a dirty look when I was going to church. Persecution. We don't know what it's like. We've got no idea. Where is it all happening? The green zone, the zone of death for Christians. Some of those countries, if you take a Bible in there, you will be imprisoned and you may be put to death. That's the world we live in. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. This is the part I don't want to talk about. This is the part that I don't want to talk about. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. This is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you. These things I command you so that you will love one another." The phrase "love one another" or "I command you to love one another" is found 22 times in the New Testament. Get your theology wrong, but don't get that wrong. How many times do you think it is in the Old Testament? Not one. That's why it's a new commandment. Now look at that last text. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, that is, if you're coming up to church, and there remember that your brother has something against you, what is it? Leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Don't come here unless you've got that sorted. But notice the other thing. It's not whether you have something against your brother, it's whether he has something against you. If he has something against you, it is up to you to initiate it. Don't come up here if you are not at peace with everybody in this room. Because we are commanded to love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Not if you got your theology correct. Get that wrong. Don't get this wrong. This is one where I'm going to take a little bit of ministerial license. False prophets will arise and lead many astray. I'm going to jump out of the religious world for this one and dive into the secular world. Give me permission. A little bit naughty. Claude Revel, editor of News Media. Dozens of surveys have confirmed a lack of trust in the media among middle-aged and older people. Constant attacks from politicians and reliance on social media as a news source have accelerated this trend. When Schema Publica surveyed media posts from 2.8 million people ages 18 to 24 on five continents, we came to a surprising conclusion. Young people also share a deep, widespread distrust of traditional media on a global scale. Friends, watch the news carefully. They are running a narrative. And I've caught them out many times. You watch this news report on that station, and then over here you watch it on the other station. What's going on? They're different reports. I've caught them out again and again, and I've stopped watching. Watch this statistic. This is Americans' trust in news media has declined for decades. Now, I'll get this right this time. The yellow line is television news and the red line is newspapers. Look at the distrust over a period of approximately 20 years. We're not stupid, you know. We know when we're being lied to. Notice that for the first part, they match each other fairly closely, but then they go all awry here. And the newspapers end up a tick above the television. And I think I have an explanation for that. When you read the newspaper, you can sit down and analyse it and think about it and take the time to, in your mind, go back to other things you've heard and square it up. But when you watch the television news, you don't get that opportunity. It goes for 3 minutes for an item and then bang, straight into another one. No time to think about it. If it doesn't do that, it goes into an ad which is 20 decibels higher than the newsreader. You get no time to think. When I used to watch it, I would record it and then I could stop and say to my wife, what about this and what about that? But now I don't watch it at all. I get my news from other sources that I trust. And I do watch widely and read widely and think it through, and that's what I've come to. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Edna and I have experienced the love of the brethren in this church. When she became sick a year or so ago, our group of friends, mostly our Sabbath school class, rallied around us. Pre-prepared meals, flowers, visits and cards. Libby put us on a roster. People were cooking for us. Prayers. And we experienced it. You know, we just felt the love in our group. And if she had not had a medical intervention at that time, she would not be here. It was serious. But what most of you don't know is that at the same time that that was happening, and here's the statistic, Edna and I run our own building company. There are six building companies, going under every single day in Victoria. That's a statistic now. And here was I doing whatever I could to keep our company afloat and coming home to a sick wife. And right in the middle of all of that, we built a big house in Ringwood with a basement underneath. A 4 metre deep hole. The concrete has had the slab all ready to pour, and a torrential rain event occurred which washed everything into the hole. Right in the middle of Edna being sick, nearly going bankrupt, the neighbour on the right-hand side, beautiful garden with $300 trees, water features and beautiful painted fence and everything, all went in the hole. And they could see their deck there. All the piers were exposed and the inter-allotment civil drainage was there, all ready to go into the hole. The sewerage was there too, all ready to go into the hole. And on the back, a double garage with a metal frame shed, it eroded a metre underneath the shed. The stress was enormous. And I would come to church and my friends would put their arms around us. If they were loving Edna, that was enough for me. Most of them didn't know that I was going through that as well. I was a wreck. But having you people as my friends and loving us pulled us through. Amen. It cost us a fortune, so much money. Every week, we're counting the pennies to pay the trades, hoping for a payment to come in from a client. Credit card maxed, not your $5,000 personal credit card, 10 times that amount, maxed. Trying to get through week by week by week. A little bit of money would come through, pass it on to the trades. We were living on a shoestring. And you people loved us through that. I remember thanking my little group of friends a couple of times and telling them how wonderful it was to have that experience. This is church. This is church. Love one another. But here it says lawlessness will be increased. Do you think being safe from crime or harm will be better or worse for today's youth than for their parents? World average, 21%. No, it's not going to be better. 59%, yes, it will. Sorry, wrong way around. It will be better. It won't be better. It'll be worse. Down the bottom here, in France, 7% against 78%. Here's Australia. And Australia is a safe country. You can walk down the street in Australia and you're pretty safe. 13% thinks it's not going to get better. It is, oh, I keep getting it back to front. It is going to get better. Is it 65%? No, it's going to be worse. We live in an age of lawlessness. The world is lawless. And watch this. Cybercrime expected to skyrocket in the coming years. I get it right. In 2018, $0.86 trillion was lost to cybercrime. Now, Kev, I don't even know what a trillion is. I struggle with a billion. A trillion. I don't know how many noughts that is. And then here, in 2023, $11.5 trillion lost to cybercrime, projected to go to $23 trillion. And I've been caught a couple of times. Invoices come in from trades and it gets intercepted on the way and they change the bank numbers. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. Dan has given me permission to use graphs. Thank you, Dan. The pink line is the Christian church from 91 to 2018, approximately 30 years. The green line is no religion. They almost mirror each other. Where one declines, the other increases in 30 years. But the scholars are divided on this question. Are we talking about societal lawlessness? Is Jesus talking about societal lawlessness or religious lawlessness? I remember seeing a funny Simpsons skit, and there's the church. All the people are in there singing praises and happy. A couple of doors down, there's the pub. Everyone in there is drinking and having a good time and slapping each other on the back. And next thing, there's a huge event outside and the sky's darkened and everyone in the church runs out to see what it is. And everyone in the pub runs out to see what happened. And they all look up and they're all horrified at what's there. And everyone from the pub runs into the church. And everyone from the church runs into the pub. I think it's not talking about societal lawlessness, because when you see societal lawlessness, it drives you into the church. It doesn't drive you out. But when you see hypocrisy and lawlessness in the church, it drives you out. And let me support that. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. The love in verse 12 is agape in the Greek. That means the love of a husband and wife and the love of God by man. It's not talking about a secular love. It's talking about a religious love. The love that drives people out of the church is the lack of love in the church. Because the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. That's lawlessness. Are there those in the church who have not submitted to God? I'm talking about the broader church, the Christian church as a whole. He shall speak words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and he shall think to change the times and the law. Lawlessness in the church. For that day will not come, this is New Testament now, unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed. The good news is that this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And the question is also, are we going to be part of that? Let me go back to something I said earlier. Get your theology wrong, but don't get love for one another wrong. That's what brings people to God. When they come here and they see a loving, kind, generous, supportive group, they want to be part of it. Roperty and Maria. I hope you feel loved. We love you to be here. Bring your friends. We'll look after them too. Then Jesus says something very interesting. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. In other words, give this some serious thought. Then let those who are in the Judea flee to the mountains. We know that when Jesus delivered the Matthew 24 narrative, he was mixing up the destruction of Jerusalem with the end of the world. And some of the verses have a dual application. This is one of them. Let me read something to you. I'll just show you this one first, actually. Oh, here it is. And on the wing of abominations, this is the Daniel verse that Jesus is referring to. What's the wing got to do with it? So he said, Jesus said, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then run. It's too late. It's too late. You're surrounded. The Romans actually let people into the city, but they wouldn't let them out. Why? More mouths to feed. Makes the siege quicker. How are they going to get out? Well, if I can find it in my notes here. I left my notes way behind. I'll read this to you. Oh, yeah, here it is. The people of the church in Jerusalem were... This is by Eusebius, a church historian. I don't have it here. No, I don't have it here. I have it here. The people of the church in Jerusalem were commanded by an oracle given by revelation before the war, AD 68 to 70, to those in the city who were worthy of it to depart and dwell in one of the cities of Perea, which they called Pella. To those who believed on Christ travelled from Jerusalem. Eusebius, Church History 3, 5 and 3. And this is from an Adventist author well known to all of us. Not one Christian perished in the destruction of Jerusalem. Christ had given his disciples warning, and all who believed his words watched for the promised sign. When you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, it's too late, said Jesus. Then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and the midst depart out. After the Romans under Cestius had surrounded the city, they unexpectedly abandoned the siege when everything seemed favourable for an immediate attack. Upon the retreat of Cestius, the Jews sallying from Jerusalem pursued after his retiring army, and while both forces were thus fully engaged, the Christians had an opportunity to leave the city. Without delay, they fled to the city of Pella in the land of Perea beyond Jordan. Great controversy, page 88. So I think we can match this. I think we can say that we are looking for that abominable thing that leaves us desolate or unsaved. What would be an abominable thing that would leave you unsaved, standing where it should not? I don't know how many of you have heard of this group. There's the Roman standard. The wing of abomination. This is what the Jerusalem Christians saw outside amongst the Roman army. Who's heard of the European Sunday Alliance? For 180 years, Adventists have been saying that there will be a Sunday law. The European Sunday Alliance is committed to that. On the European Day for a Work-Free Sunday, FAFCE, recalls the need for a weekly common day of rest, crucial for the social cohesion of our communities and the intergenerational bond within families. FAFCE is therefore happy to join the statement of the European Sunday Alliance. Now watch this, a network, so this is another group joining this network, a network of more than 100 national Sunday alliances, trade unions, employers' organisations, civil society organisations, churches and religious communities committed to raise awareness of the unique value of the synchronised free time for our European society. We're all behind this. One day a week would be wonderful. Just get the day right. Just get the day right. But notice that. Notice this here. Trade unions. Let me tell you, if trade unions decide it, it will happen because they will just tell their people to strike. And everybody wants to have a synchronised day off. Everybody wants it. And it's a good idea. One more text and then I'm done. Therefore, you also must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And the question we all have is, are we going, am I going to get caught out? Am I going to just sit here day after day after day and just wait for it to happen around me? Jesus said, I say unto you, watch. Watch.